Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. I wanted to say before I kick off this call that in light of current events, I personally, you know, as a spiritual practitioner, as a psychic teacher, somebody who's involved in the metaphysical community, really made a grand assumption that when I look to the teachers who I felt like have taught me on other podcasts and other teachers, I really thought that they would be speaking up about what's happening in the world, that they would address literally what is happening on the footsteps of our doors. And I have found, to my disappointment, that they have wholeheartedly avoided the issue. Now, not all of them, but the ones that I guess I had invested a lot of my time and energy in. And I don't know, I found that very disheartening. I respect people's decisions wholeheartedly, but at the same time, I guess this brings me to the topic of today's conversation, which I feel is super important, and that is addressing what spirituality really is, what spiritual bypassing is, and also spiritual responsibility, especially when you're doing this work. So let's get started. What's spirituality, you guys? In my personal opinion, it is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit. In the metaphysical community, or even in this spiritual community, we use those words interchangeably, there is this notion that spirituality is its own facet of life, that it doesn't intersect with the economy, politics, education, I would add the environment, or even human rights. Why is this? Why do we believe that our spiritual beliefs and principles don't roll over into these systems? We must ask ourselves if our spiritual beliefs and principles really don't affect these facets of life. Do your spiritual beliefs about God, life, source, I would say humanity, healing, forgiveness, patience, understanding, and compassion not affect economic justice and equality wholeheartedly? Do they not inform proper business practices? Do they not inform our system of education and how we teach our children and provide for them equally? Do they not inform our systems of government that creates laws we as people are forced to live by? Do they not inform human rights, liberty, and freedom? I personally have always believed you cannot separate the spiritual from all of these aspects of life. Given the current situation regarding the unfortunate death of George Floyd and countless other victims, I've personally spoken up about how important it is for us to embody our spiritual principles and speak out for what is right. However, I have encountered many people who refuse to speak up or even acknowledge what is happening in our nation and the broader impact that it has at large. I have seen people say that the spiritual should not be merged with the political, as if the two don't already intersect. It's as if these spiritual people have a false sense of enlightenment that excuses them from accountability and responsibility for their fellow man. First off, I'd like to remind everybody that this is a human rights issue, and that we are all responsible for the basic rights and welfare of the people of this planet. As I was scrolling through the many posts on Instagram and Twitter, there was one that really struck me, and it's from ARE, and this is Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment. And I hope they don't mind that I'm using a couple of their sentences from the posts, because I found them to be very powerful, but I also found it to be very interesting that the people who follow ARE were very mad that they made this post, but I support them wholeheartedly. So I want to bring your attention, you know, to Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce was known, and he was always referred to as the sleeping prophet, really. His readings were profound, and he often reminded us through his readings with Source and the Archangels and many others, other spiritual beings, that all people on the earth are brothers. He also stated that individuals had to be given the same material and spiritual opportunities because in the eyes of the Creator, all individuals are equal. This equality is regardless of race, creed, sexual orientation, or anything in the world that would appear to divide us. So according to ARE, in approximately 100 readings, he also paraphrases Genesis to remind us that we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. In other words, we are responsible for one another, and this knowledge will one day be at the heart of global transformation. I am going to read one of Edgar Cayce's readings to you guys. Per his words, man's answer to everything has been power. Power of money, power of position, power of wealth, power of this, that, or the other. This has never been God's way, will never be God's way. Rather, little by little, line upon line, here a little, there a little, each thinking rather of the other fellow, today wilt thou, thine self, make of thine own heart an understanding that thou must answer for thine own brother, for thine own neighbor. And who is thine neighbor? He who lives next door, or he that lives on the other side of the world? He, rather, that is in need of understanding. He who has faltered, he who has fallen even by the wayside. He is thy neighbor, and thou must answer for him. This brings me to the topic of spiritual bypassing. I wanted to talk about this because it's an important topic given the current situation, but it's important in general because I feel like I've seen this in this community as well. Spiritual bypassing is a tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. It is the practice of denying and suppressing the darkness within you and plastering it with a sparkly feel-good band-aid. It essentially enables you or provides you an excuse to escape uncomfortable issues in life. I've seen many people I look up to, listen to as teachers in this field, spiritually bypass the transformation that's occurring in this world. Rather, they would prefer to meditate for 5 minutes in peace as if that addresses the root cause of the problems we are facing. I do not dismiss the power of meditation or prayer, but we must also act to enact change. How else can God or source or whatever you want to call it work through you? Personally, spiritual bypassing is turning a blind eye to the horrors of the world, to the reality of injustice and exclusion and racism and human and civil rights violations. This is a premature transcendence when one tries to rise above messy humanness and where one dismisses human needs and feelings. However, to be spiritual is to not be uninformed. Have we become so enlightened that we refuse to acknowledge hunger and poverty and even environmental injustice? Many spiritual folk relegate these issues, which to me can be categorized as human rights violations in mass. They categorize them as political issues and thus irrelevant to the spiritual cause. Then we must ask ourselves, why are we here? If not to help, guide, lift up, and teach. We all have our assignments. Some of us are assigned to teach children. Some of us are assigned to heal the sick. Some of us are assigned to protect the public. Some of us are assigned to the city, states, countries, and God help us, our environment. However, it is imperative to merge spiritual principles of equality and justice for all, the spiritual principles of love and forgiveness and compassion into these assignments. These principles are intellectual tools that guide us and they guide us to make and enact change where it's needed. So there's a speech by Audrey Kitagawa. She is a UN representative for the United Religions Initiative, and she is chair of the NGO Committee on Spirituality, Values, and Global Concerns. I really wanted to read a talk, actually, that she had given a few years back that I thought was extremely profound and also super relevant to what I was trying to discuss today, but I could not find the words as eloquently as she put them. So this is really her quick speech. I think it's very important here. So please listen. The foundation of human rights comes from an inherent knowing that we are spiritual beings with a spiritual purpose, and the laws we create are a manifestation of the inner knowing. All human beings are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood. But where does conscience come from? Consciousness itself, which is the quality or state of being, is aware. Aware of what is taking place within oneself and all that is going on around us. It is therefore simultaneously individual and universal in nature. That state of being, which is aware, instantly tells us if our actions, whether through thought, speech, or conduct, creates a violation of ourselves or another. A violation that ultimately leads to our degradation and the degradation of others. And though we can try to rationalize our actions, the conscience is a repository of truth, which knows that no amount of rationalization can soothe the disquietude that sits within our own hearts until that violation is cleared through a coherent alignment of the inner knowing with the outer conduct. The highest potential for the fully developed human being, and I would add fully realized or enlightened human being, is one who has the heart of compassion, love, and caring for one another that not only makes human existence itself possible, but also makes it worthwhile. To develop into a mature human being means that the elevated person will not only embrace the rights of others, but will see it as indistinct from his own rights, because the sense of separation that creates a duality of you and me has moved to that transcendent state where we are all one with all of life itself. I wanted to share some more thoughts for you, some more thoughts about, I would say, the convergence of spirituality and even politics. And I found, you know, the best book that has helped me merge spirituality and politics, amongst many others, because there are many. However, before the 2016 election, I read Healing the Soul of America by Marianne Williamson. It's an amazing book. And as I was putting this talk together this week, I was, you know, calling from my guides and God upstairs asking, you know, where should I look? And this book came to mind. So I wanted to read you some passages from her book that I think are really insightful and helpful if you're still questioning or trying to understand yourself how to merge, not just, I would say, politics and spirituality, but like I said, those other facets of life, the other systems that operate in our society. Okay. She says, if spirituality is relevant to anything, then it is relevant to everything. How can we speak seriously of a God who cares what happens to you and me, but somehow would not have us care about what happens to each other? So when asking how to make spirituality relevant to politics, here are actually some of the most common responses that are gathered from the political community. Spirituality is not relevant to politics. Don't start with all that spiritual stuff. It has nothing to do with politics. Politics is about the real world. And here are some of the most common responses from the spiritual community. Spirituality makes politics irrelevant. Think about more positive things. Politics is just a low-level addictive power game. Forget it. Real change can't come from there. However, to create the world that we really want, we must put these together. It's not either or, but both. Cause and effect, mind and body, that need addressing in order to create a positive, effective politics for this time on earth. But again, not just politics, but also human rights, also environmental, educational, racial justice. So per Williamson, we need to extend the principles of enlightenment into the social, political, economic, and environmental realms. We cannot go for false positivism, pretending we're all so spiritual that we don't dive really into important issues. To do so would be straight denial. This is not healing. I'm going to read to you a few passages from Healing the Soul of America by Marianne Williamson. Definitely cannot paraphrase it myself. It was all written very beautifully, but I feel like it's really relevant, obviously, to what we're talking about. From the early American Quakers to Henry David Thoreau to Mahatma Gandhi to Martin Luther King Jr., the effort to bridge the inner-outer duality has been one of the high points of human philosophy and endeavor. America has been fertile ground for such philosophy since our earliest days. It is the message that our spiritual and political evolution are not separate, but intimately and potentially, even gloriously connected. It's the suggestion that we can't give to the world what we have not achieved within ourselves, and we can't keep for ourselves what we have not yet given to the world. And ultimately, it's the message that maybe, just maybe, love will someday rule the world. I'm going to read to you one more passage that I think is super important again to this conversation. Okay. Transforming our own hearts is thus a prerequisite for transforming the world. We will not achieve any higher-minded political goal until we transform the political process, and we cannot transform the political process without transforming ourselves. Thus, personal transformation becomes a social and political issue if we are interested in the development of a holistic politics. If we've been spending several years asking, "Who am I?" the next question becomes, "What should I do?" If we've been focused on the question, "What should I do?" we now start asking, "Who am I?" Those two questions actually answer each other. Their being asked together creates the force we need in the world today. In the words of Neil Donald Walsh, the author of Conversations with God, and if you haven't read that book, I do recommend it. It's a good book. Every act is an act of self-definition. Our acts define our being, and our being determines the ultimate power of our acts. We must ask ourselves how we can create an enlightened society. Here is another passage that I think is relevant to this question in Healing the Soul of America, per Williamson. Plato said that to philosophize and concern oneself with politics is one and the same thing. We expand our political activism to include spiritual growth work in order that we might ourselves become facilitators of change. And we expand our perception of spiritual practice to include political activism that we might most profoundly extend our compassion into the world. I believe that the laws we create must reflect tenets of higher laws. They must reflect equality among all people, regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation. Our laws must address racial inequities, economic inequities, socio-political inequities, educational, health, and environmental injustice as well. Enlightenment, as we understand it, requires a great unlearning. This is something that we say quite often in this community. However, here we must unlearn the systems we have been indoctrinated into, and we must take the steps to dismantle systems of hate that support white supremacy and a general notion that the lives of Black people do not deserve the same respect and consideration as those of white people. We must unlearn racist thinking by educating ourselves. I would add that this is also the responsibility of somebody who calls themselves spiritual or is a spiritual practitioner. Additionally, I would like to add that there must be a national racial atonement for the injustices of the past and the present. It is really with atonement, accountability, and external legislative remedies that we can begin to take a step forward. Lastly, I wanted to share what the archangels have said to me about what's happening in the world and why. Obviously, what is going on is not only disheartening, it's incredibly profoundly sad and painful. And I know that these conversations are very uncomfortable for a lot of people, but I think they're very important to have. And I sat down with, obviously, my own spiritual team, asking them questions, things they know have been on my mind now for a while. And they said, and I'm just going to share with you what they said, that we are literally in the midst of a mass awakening.
that has needed to happen for some time. People's eyes are open now to injustice. They said that many right now are afraid to speak, but there are some fearless warriors out there. But they did ask that I say to you, you must find the courage to speak, to use your voice. They said, in reference to racial injustice, that it is time to heal the wounds from the past and the present. However, they also did say that, and I'm pulling my notebook in terms of what they said that there will continue to be baseless lies that will be spread. However, we will move towards justice. It will prevail. Additionally, it was shared with me from above that the planet is shifting and that we must go with it. The vibration of the planet is shifting. And they said that a global transformation and healing must occur. It is not a question of if, but now. We must be courageous. They emphasized this to me so much over and over, that you must be brave in these moments. Yes, there are people who you love dearly who will speak against you or will hate you for what you have been saying. They will turn on you. It does not matter at this moment. What matters most is that you feel empowered to speak, that you have the courage to speak, knowing that you are never alone, knowing that you are supported. And very importantly, they said that now is the time to unify. We must love one another, and peace must prevail. However, we must take action. It is not enough to sit around. We must act. They also reminded me, and this is important, this is something I said earlier, is that we all have our assignments. Again, some of us are assigned to environmental justice, which I'm going to have a side note for you about that, because they actually talked about that extensively, and that was not something that I had asked, so they want that out there. But they also said some of us are assigned to alleviating hunger. Some of us are called to educational justice. It's important that you find your assignment. There's obviously something in your heart that profoundly affects you deeply that you want to help to remediate on this planet. That is your assignment, but you must include the spiritual principles that you believe in and embody those within that assignment to effect change. They said that right now we are being called to awaken, but you must be brave at this moment. So the side note about environmental justice, they said, because I asked them about COVID, and, you know, they did say, yes, many people will perish. I'm not going to lie. That's what I heard. But they also wanted to say, you know, that look at the state of the planet. They said that we are poisoning this very earth that we live on. We are poisoning our own ecosystem, that we poison the ground. We are poisoning the air that we can't barely breathe it anymore, and that we are poisoning the water. They wanted me to share that with you. There must be a change in our policies. There must be a respect that we must have for the earth that we live on. And until we do this, we will continue to have these viruses spread. I'm sure, people, that makes you uncomfortable, but they did say that. They said that we must change. We have poisoned our earth, and we have made things toxic, literally. And for those of you who are very, in your heart, feel as if you have been called to cleaning up the environment, saving the environment, then I think it is incumbent that you move forward with environmental justice bravely. One last thing, I guess two last things that I wanted to say on here is, I hear a lot in this community, you know, oh, light and love, be the light, light and love. But we must ask ourselves, what the hell is it to be the light? Is it enough to just be kind? Is it enough to just sit around meditating? Obviously, the answer is no. We must also act. We must also be courageous. I feel like that is what it is to be the light. It is to have the courage to take action. It is to have the courage to step up and speak out when you see something that is not right, knowing that you are not alone. If you're asking right now, how can I actually do something? How can I help? First thing, as always, is to educate yourself and those around you. Not everybody's going to listen to you. That's just the way it is. but educate yourself at the very least and stand up for what you know that is right. Donate to organizations who are really trying to make changes. I will list some organizations in the podcast that you can consider in the show notes. And very, very, very importantly, what you can do is vote. Your vote matters at the local and state level. Vote people in who will stand up and speak for your beliefs, who will do what is right, who will create laws of justice for the people. I began this talk today about what is spirituality, and again, what is spiritual bypassing. And the reason which I already said at the beginning, but which I'm kind of reiterating here, is that it is not enough, honestly, to sit around and just meditate on peace. That is avoiding what is happening in the world today. I think it is important as a spiritual person to embody the spiritual principles in everyday life and apply them. But what does the application actually look like on the ground? Standing up for what is right, speaking out for truth, supporting your fellow man, knowing that we literally may be in different bodies of different color, but our essence is truly one. This is a truism that I assumed we all agreed upon in our spiritual covenant, that we all really knew. What hurts your brother hurts you. You must understand and you must educate yourself personally, but you also must speak out for what you truly know in your heart is wrong, and for what you truly know in your heart should be right, could be right, could be real if we all just stood together. You know, I read some comments on a few podcasts. Some people are enraged that some of these spiritual teachers will not speak out, almost as if they're hiding, almost as if they're protecting themselves by not speaking, as if they are afraid to lose people. It's one of the best things that can happen at this point. Lose them. God brings for you who is right for you. If we really agree to some of these spiritual principles, like attracts like, you know, where you're vibrating, those people who are vibrating at the same level will come with you. That is what is important. What is left behind does not matter. We must all stand together and be allies to actually make change. You know, this lady that I work with, and I know I'm getting a little personal here, but this lady that I work with, she asked me, and she's a white lady in the South, said, "I don't understand why people can't, you know, you guys just can't sit down and talk to us like you and I are doing." And it's very hard for me to stomach because of the ignorance of that statement. And I think what people forget in this nation is that enough talking, truthfully, enough conversations. It's time to act. Obviously, I am not for violence, but I also know the rage in people's hearts about what has been happening on this earth, not just in the United States, but what is happening globally. And as we have seen, and this has affected me very deeply, and I think affected many people, is that there is a global response to injustice, that people recognize this and they know it. As I said, being spiritual does not equate with being ignorant. That is incredibly important for us to realize. And I know that this creative force, God, source, whatever you want to call it, will guide you personally into what your next steps are. I am not condemning people. Please do not think that. But in my heart, I know that change requires action. Yes, conversations must be had. Yes, laws must be created and passed so that injustices do not occur. But we also have to change our hearts. And we also must be fearless for change. Again, people question, why do we merge politics, human rights, justice with spirituality? May I remind you of just a few people in history who, thank God, merged their religious spiritual beliefs with change with politics, with justice. First one being Abraham Lincoln, who appealed to his beliefs about God, his own personal spirituality, to emancipate the slaves. Then we have many leaders of the civil rights movement, including Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was an American Christian minister, whose beliefs informed the civil rights movement and informed his courage to act. I leave you with this. We must have an economy that is moral. We must have an educational system that is moral. We must have a politics that is moral. We must have environmental justice as well. We must atone for history. We must atone for what has been done to the people of this nation. We must atone for the genocide committed to the First Peoples nations here in the United States. We must atone for the slavery committed to kidnapped Africans brought to this freaking United States of America to build this nation from the ground up. We must atone for Jim Crow. We must atone for the violation of Black bodies that occur on a daily basis. We must find the courage to speak and the courage also to forgive. Again, as I said earlier, our forms may look different, but our essence is one. We are each other's brothers and sisters keeper. Thank you guys for listening today.